Okay, thank you. So, how many of you could say the following about your life? I have no wants. There's nothing I want for. There's nothing I need. I have no need of rest. I have rest physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. I have peace on the inside right now. There are no anxious thoughts, worries, or cares. All is well with my soul. In fact, my soul is so well, there's nothing weighing on my mind. My spirit is refreshed. I have no need of guidance. I trust all will go well in the future and that the decisions I am making will lead me along the right path. I think if we're honest with ourselves, all is not well with our soul, is it? Save for trusting in Christ. Even then, when we trust in our own selves, all is not well with our soul. There's things that can weigh on our mind, worries, cares, anxiety. It's so easy to be overwhelmed with a future and circumstances that can be and are so often out of our control. Our children, our spouse, our close friends, those people we love and care for, it's hard to think about the future when it's not in our control for those that we love, not just ourselves. Rest can seem so far off. We may struggle to care for ourselves, to rest physically. We may even struggle to care for ourselves in other ways, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. We can feel drained, even if we're well rested. We need someone to give us rest, a deep rest that our souls long for, so that we can be refreshed and restored. We need someone to give us peace because, let's face it, no matter how hard we try to pursue that which we think will give us satisfaction, nothing can give our souls the peace that they need except for Christ. Lesser things that we put our souls rest in, like fame, accomplishments, even love from people or doing good to others, just doesn't fill our empty souls. Our souls were meant for more. The craving for peace runs much deeper. We were made for someone to lead us into this perfect peace, someone to guide us along right paths in life, though we know not the way forward. We need someone greater than us to guide us, lead us, give us rest, give us peace, and restore our empty souls. We need a shepherd. And that is what Psalm 23 is all about. Our main point today in our text of Psalm 23 is that we need a shepherd, and Jesus is that perfect shepherd in whom we lack nothing. Our passage is short, it's known, so well known that we might be tempted to just let the words roll over us like a nice warm blanket, not truly grasping their meaning because we've heard it so much. My hope in these moments is that we can unpack a few things from this psalm. First, that we recognize our need for a shepherd. Second, that we see there is no better shepherd to lead us than Jesus. And lastly, that we make a decision to really see Jesus as my shepherd, because that's what verse 1 is all about in the whole psalm, actually. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Psalm 23. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 6 to get the psalm in the forefront of our mind. I'm reading from the NIV translation. Psalm 23 says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is the word of the Lord. It is a beautiful psalm, isn't it, as I read it? I'm asked to read this psalm at nearly every bedside of the dying, every funeral. It's very well known and loved. Even people that don't come to church know this psalm. It seems to comfort, doesn't it, as I read it? It sounds so nice and poetic, and it is. But I will tell you, this psalm is not true for just anyone. The first line says it all. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. So, Psalm 23 can be summed up in that first verse, or first sentence right there. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. In fact, if the Lord is your shepherd, you really do lack nothing. There's nothing that you don't have that your shepherd will not give you, that you truly need. But if the Lord is not your shepherd, the opposite of that is that you lack everything. You see, if the Lord is your shepherd, then all the benefits of being under the shepherd's care are yours completely and fully. And this psalm really is a comfort. But if Jesus is not your shepherd, if you are the one to lead your own life and call the shots, so to speak, if you are your own master and Jesus is not your Lord and not your shepherd, then the benefits of the shepherd are not yours just yet. There are two ways to live. Either Jesus leads your life as your Lord and you lack nothing, or you lead your own life however you see fit and lack everything. Let me show you just how badly we need a shepherd, just how badly we need Jesus as our shepherd. There is an author that looked at Psalm 23 and thought about what it would look like if we were our own shepherds. And he wrote Psalm 23 in an opposite fashion, if we were our own shepherds. It's called the Anti-Psalm, and it's written by David Paulson. And this is how he writes. This is Jesus. If Jesus was not your shepherd, this is what life would look like if you were leading your own life. He writes this. I am on my own. No one looks out for me or protects me. I experience a continual sense of need. Nothing's quite right. I'm always restless. I'm easily frustrated and often disappointed. It's a jungle. I feel overwhelmed. It's a desert. I'm thirsty. My soul feels broken, twisted, and stuck. I can't fix myself. I stumbled down some dark paths. Still, I insist. I want to do what I want, when I want, how I want. But life's confusing. Why don't things ever really work out? I'm haunted by emptiness and futility, shadows of death. I fear the big hurt and final loss. Death is waiting for me at the end of every road, but I'd rather not think about that. I spend my life protecting myself. Bad things can happen. I find no lasting comfort. I'm alone, facing everything that could hurt me. Are my friends really friends? Other people use me for their own ends. I can't really trust anyone. No one has my back. No one is really for me except me. And I'm so much all about me. Sometimes it's sickening. I belong to no one except myself. My cup is never quite full enough. I'm left empty. Disappointment follows me all the days of my life. Will I just be obliterated into nothingness? Will I be alone forever, homeless, free-falling into void? Sartre said, hell is other people. I have to add, hell is also myself. It's a living death, and then I die. How sad is that, isn't it? That is life without a shepherd. That is life lived apart from the grace and the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we need a shepherd, because if we don't have the Lord as our shepherd, we really do lack everything. There are two ways to live. Either Jesus leads your life as your Lord and you lack nothing, or you lead your own life however you see fit and lack everything. There is good news. We don't have to be our own shepherds and live on our own apart from God. We can have Jesus lead us as our shepherd. I want to look at Psalm 23 and just see how good of a shepherd Jesus is. If we look at the first couple verses in Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." Just as sheep in the presence of a shepherd lack nothing, so we lack nothing in the care of our good shepherd. Now, this might surprise you, but I know nothing about livestock. Anybody else like me? You know nothing about livestock raising animals? But I was found this surprising about sheep. One thing I read about sheep is that they are completely and utterly dependent upon their shepherd. And that in the care of an excellent shepherd who provides for their every need, they really do lack nothing. And one image we see of God's care for us in verse 2 is that he makes us lie down in green pastures. It's interesting, sheep need a shepherd to make them lie down. They won't do it on their own. They won't do it because they're afraid. They need someone to lead them. They don't get it that there is green pasture and it would be nice to lay down and rest. They need a shepherd to make them do that. Sheep are prone to fear of predators of many kinds who will not lie down unless they have a shepherd to provide safety for them and security so that they rest. So in the presence of their shepherd, sheep can lie down. How much more so in the presence of our shepherd, Jesus Christ, can we really truly rest? In our hearts, we are like sheep. We are afraid of the unknown, the future, the things that are beyond our control, the worries of how to navigate life and its difficulties that are too big for us. Yet in the presence of Jesus, our good shepherd, we can really rest in the midst of the busyness of life and the things that are out of our control. Remember the words of Christ in Matthew 11, 28 to 29. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The rest of verse 2 says, "He leads me beside quiet waters." Sheep are skittish around the noise of running water. Even though they need to drink, they won't. So a steady hand of a good shepherd provides them with the leadership they need. In this example, the shepherd leads the sheep and knows what is best for his sheep. In the same way, our shepherd, with infinite knowledge, leads us and satisfies our soul's true thirst. Jesus knows what truly satisfies your thirsty soul. He knows what will refresh you. And we, in our finite knowledge, our limited knowledge, do not know what truly satisfies our own souls. But our Creator does. Our Shepherd does. Remember when Jesus said to the woman at the well, he could give her living water? He said this in John 4, 13 to 14. "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Everyone, Jesus said, who drinks this water will never be thirsty again. So Jesus gives us what our souls truly need so that we do not lack anything. Jesus alone satisfies our thirsty souls when he is our shepherd. Thus we can truly say, as the psalmist in verse 3, "He refreshes my soul." And just as the shepherd leads his sheep on right paths, always protecting and keeping his sheep safe, "He guides me along the right paths for his namesake," the psalmist says, so Jesus leads us on right paths as well. In John chapter 10, Jesus said this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." We're always safe in the care of our good shepherd. If Jesus is our good shepherd, there's nothing that can snatch us away from him. We are always on right paths. Are you beginning to see how good of a shepherd Jesus is? You might be thinking, but why am I using Jesus' name when the psalm doesn't say that? It says the Lord or God. Why am I pointing out that Jesus is the perfect shepherd when Psalm 23 doesn't mention it? And the reason for that is, even though the psalm does not mention Jesus' name, it illustrates his care, his goodness, that Jesus picks up on in the gospel as I read them. And beyond that, we can see in the next verse the clear illustration of how good our shepherd is, that he's not just our good shepherd, but he is our Passover lamb, the one who is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. In Psalm 23, verse 4, it says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The reason that this verse is true, that God is with us in the darkest valley, or the valley of the shadow of death, as some translations have it, is that Jesus entered the darkest valley for us. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus is our good shepherd who laid down his life for us by entering into the ultimate dark valley reserved for us at the cross. And there he experienced not just the shadow of death, but the full reality of it when he bore our sins on that cross. For you and for me is death in our place. In this dark valley, there was no assurance of the psalm that we see here, "For I am with you." Remember Jesus' words? My God, why have you forsaken me?" The promise is ours in Psalm 23 that God is with us in our dark valley because Jesus went to the cross where no one was with him so that he could always be with us. There was no rod or staff to protect him on the cross. Instead, Jesus' enemies crucified him. Jesus went into the dark valley for us and he stayed there and died on that cross so that we could go out of the valley of the shadow of death so we wouldn't stay there ourselves. In his dying, he won for us who trust in him a victory over death and sin and Satan. He met our deepest need in that way for forgiveness and eternal life and allowing our soul to experience true restoration, a rest both now and forevermore. We have a shepherd in Jesus who is so good that he would meet our deepest need at infinite cost to himself. And if you don't have a shepherd like that, if you've never trusted in Jesus, don't you want to when I speak of how good he is? If I go back to the psalm, we could even continue on. After the valley, we have the table before us that is prepared in the presence of our enemies. Our head is anointed with oil, our cup overflows. Even in our darkest valley, God is so present with us that we lack nothing. Our cup is overflowing, our head is anointed with oil. That's a picture of we are richly provided for, even in places of darkness throughout life that we walk. And our good shepherd Jesus is not only good to provide for us in those ways, but he pursues us with goodness and love. They follow us all the days of our life so that when you look back on your life years from now or even today, you can see the goodness of your shepherd, that he was with you, that he showed you his love throughout life. And not only that, but if we look forward to the eternal future after this life, our good shepherd Jesus can promise us that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is the one and the only one who can give us eternal life. So you might be asking, okay, so Jesus is such a good shepherd. What do I have to do for him to be mine? What do I have to do for him to be my shepherd? To be under his care, to experience all the benefits of this psalm? And the answer to that question is nothing. You don't have to do anything. Isn't that good news? He did it. We don't have to do anything except need him. Need him like sheep need a shepherd. Sheep are completely dependent on their shepherd for everything. And that is how we come to Christ. Completely dependent. Just needing him. And then he's our shepherd. You see, Luke, we go to it here. 31 to 32 says, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." Jesus said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus calls those who know their need for him. Like the sick who know their need for a doctor, Jesus calls those who are sinners, who know they aren't righteous, who know they're not good, and therefore recognize their need for a Savior to rescue them from their sins. And that's how we come. We come with pure need. And that's how Jesus invites us to come. So my question for you is, do you need Jesus? Do you need him utterly and completely? Or is your life right now kind of like Jesus plus something else gets you through life as your good shepherd? See, the good news is Jesus wants to be your complete shepherd. The only thing in which you trust. And then all the benefits of being under his care are yours. But when we trust other things plus Jesus, putting them side by side in our life as equal, we actually experience the nothingness and the emptiness that I read about in that anti-psalm. We're actually just trusting ourselves, not Jesus. But if Jesus is truly our only hope and our only shepherd, all the benefits of being under his care are yours. So my question to you is, do you need him that way? Do you recognize your need for him as your shepherd? And do you see how good of a shepherd Jesus really is? That he alone can lead you in such a way that you lack nothing. And if you do, then Psalm 23, verse 1, can be your prayer that you pray. You can truly say, maybe today, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. If you do, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come simply with the prompt of verse 1, confessing we're like sheep, wholly dependent upon you, and we say, you are my shepherd. We confess that we've tried to lead our own lives apart from you. We tried to find rest outside of you and feed our souls with lesser things than you. And we confess that you and you alone satisfy our soul, Jesus. We long for you to rule us, reign over us, and lead our lives as our shepherd. We confess that you, Lord Jesus, are the perfect shepherd who has laid down his life for us. And in you, we lack nothing. We entrust ourselves to your care and ask that you would lead us. Guide us, give us rest, refresh our souls, and help us to know you are truly with us, even in the darkest valleys of life. Remind us of the hope of eternal life, that we will dwell in your house forever. And may that hope give us strength to endure all that we face in life. Jesus, you are our great reward. There is none beside you. Our soul's delight is found in you. And we treasure you this morning as our good shepherd, in whose name we pray. Amen.